Welcome, citizens. I'm your host, Allie Grauer, and this is Warda. Glimpses is a brief interlude consisting of five stories which take place between the events of Curiosities in 4804 and the next tale, Winds of Change, in 4814. We hope you enjoy these one-shot adventures as standalone stories or as pieces of the greater narrative of Warda. The year is 4807, and the glimpse is The Ghost of Appleton Orchard, Chapter 2.
Finch, could I have a word?
Certainly.
Perfect. Let's go with you two first.
Okay.
And you guys are outside, and we see in the background. So you guys, like, as he leaves, she pulls you back into the parlor, and you guys are going to talk. And we see in the window in the background, there goes Jasper just walking down the road, and there's Damry like.
Well, Damry just stands at the window and watches him go.
And then he remembers he left the cart inside us to turn around.
He turns around and he goes back. And that's everything that's happening while you guys while you guys are having this conversation. So what is the conversation?
So I pull you aside. So what is your game? What's your angle? Why are you so keen to latch on and play my assistant? I've never met you before.
Beavers.
Excuse me?
She pulls the cloth off the box she's been carrying.
And in this box is a beautiful baby beaver of beautiful purple fur. Roll me a luck. Just roll me a straight luck. It's just two of them.
Oh, just two.
Roll two.
Can I take those two?
Sure, if you want to.
Okay, they're both pluses.
Okay, so you definitely know about rainbow beavers.
Okay.
And give me something else you know about rainbow beavers that's advantageous.
I know they go for a killing on the black market.
Excellent. So you know that she's got a lot of money sitting right here.
Yes.
Go for it.
I am a milliner from the Silk Rose Cafe and Hattery on the Poshway. We have taken in the past few years to keeping our own stock of rainbow beavers, one of each color, that we might shave them, felt the fur, and turn them into beautiful hats. The hats tend to smell of cedar, as a matter of fact, because they are what they eat, I suppose. Hello there. Anyway, we were out of our purple. He was very old, and he took sick and died, poor dear. And I heard that at the Pollipson's Rainbow Beaver Farm out here in the 10th Ward, there was a bumper crop of purple beavers born. So I came out to fetch one for myself on behalf of the proprietress of the Silk Rose, my employer, and now I have obtained it, and I tried to go home, but the train's not coming yet, and I was thinking to just, you know, explore the orchards, enjoy myself, but now I seem to have stumbled across a mystery of sorts, one practical, one stupid, and I am invested in both of them, and on behalf of your investigation at the very least, and partially to this ghost hunt, I would like to find out exactly what's going on with the Silvani owners of this place, because that will probably provide some key insight as to why on earth anyone would pretend to be a ghost or scare a bunch of humans with... Do you think Master Scorch is aware that living people can make things float? I can make things float.
I can also make things float. It's very possible that someone is playing a prank on these poor humans.
Exactly. So I'd like to speak to the staff here to find out if there's any insight they can offer.
All right, Alva. Well, you seem like you have a good head on your shoulders. Can I trust that you got that beaver legally?
Yes. She pulls out the receipt.
You have papers. You have papers.
Yes, papers.
Because they are rather expensive and they are rather valuable, there's obviously papers.
Derek takes out like one of those pens, like you when you counterfeit money, like to make sure that like there is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like holds it up. Still
it's a stamp that you do, so you can stamp it, and it flashes over it to see if it's real or not.
Well, it checks out. Your dealer seems to be licensed and approved, so
the polypsons are very legit.
Okay, great.
Squeaky clean.
Well then,
like the beavers.
You know what? I like the head you have on your shoulders. I came out here without a partner, so seems like we're going to be working together then.
Fantastic. And I assure you, this is not the first time I have had to deal with a hatless warden who has a stick in place. Let's go to the kitchens.
Oh?
Were you guys still in the parlor?
Yeah,
you
were in the parlor.
Uh-huh. Okay. Never mind.
So again, we saw the whole tableau behind that happened. And as you come back, Jasper, you can see the barn that they're supposed to be at down the road and just across the way.
I'm going to start walking. I didn't hear the part about needing to wait for a foreman, right? Did he say he was sending?
He was going to send the foreman. He was going to meet you there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well then I'm going to. Grumbling to myself, I'm taking the wagon.
Yeah.
I'm saying, wheels, 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 wheels,
she's
wheels,
walking,
wheels.
She's several yards after you, calling, we're going to go look at the wheels after. We have to do this first.
I love you guys. So good.
I won't tell you where the wheels are unless we get this done.
We're going to get it done. We are the best at what we do.
We are.
The only.
The only.
At what we do.
I know.
Therefore the best.
Yes.
So
the best.
Objectively, yes.
You guys head down the hill.
Actually best.
And you come across the barn. And the barn has obviously not been touched since that night. Mm. Like, you look inside, and the party favors are still up. The punch bowl that was knocked over is... Nothing has been moved since that night. Mm. And you guys show up, and there is... A burly woman, a human female, standing by there. She's wearing sensible like working clothes. She's got an ivy cap on, and she's got like work gloves like in her belt. And she's sitting there waiting. She's got like a flask of something that she's drinking. And as she sees you, she stands up and she respectfully like bows. She goes, "My name's Mary. I'm the foreman. How can I be of assistance?"
"Hello, Mary. I'm Jasper. Did you see the ghost?"
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the ghost.
What can you tell us about what you saw?"
"Well," and she like sits back down like a hay bale and like picks up the flask and like drinks from it and goes, it was not like anything I've ever seen before. It was green and glowing, and it like could floated up into the air. And then flew around the room, and then everyone else started to fly up around the room, and it moaned, and all the lights went out, and then it disappeared, just completely was gone afterwards. A bunch of us, after we ran to the house to make sure that the master knew about it, we came back with, like, you know, sticks and clubs to make sure that, and it wasn't there. There's nothing there after that. I tell you, it's taken me everything just to walk up to this today to go see it."
"Well, you're very brave.
Thank you, thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Facing your ghosts.
Thank
Unlike
you.
Your boss. It's not important. Sorry. Old grudge. Oh. Anyway, describe the figure of the ghost."
"Pale, greenish light coming off of it."
"The figure, the shape.
Oh,
the size.
What did it look like?"
It was like human shaped.
Human shaped.
It was, I didn't see any horns or it didn't look Johnny or Silvani, or and it might have been fairy. It was either fairy or human."
"Did you recognize a face?"
"No, I couldn't really see the face on it.
The expression of the face at all?
I mean,
attitude it was giving off, the feeling of it.
I mean, it screamed. It screamed, and it seemed very hostile. Felt like it was gonna like kill us. It didn't demand anything. It didn't say anything. And again, I didn't really see its face. It was kind of like a blank, like a wash. Like you couldn't really see it. Although, I swear it had eyes, but I just don't remember. Really.
And was it translucent, or do you feel that it was solid?"
I mean, Is there a difference? I mean...
Could you see through the figure?
Not really. No. I mean...
It was just glowing.
It was just glowing.
Can I do, I don't know, an investigation or an academia?
Sure.
Or
it's an investigation. It's an investigation to, like, investigate the room.
Well, I was thinking more like against Jasper's, like... Against the world of crazy magic and things that exist that are beyond humans' capacity, but well within the capacity of an Ifrit who's lived 450 years, is this...
Magic or something else.
Yeah, is this a thing he would recognize?
Well, it would be an Arcanica.
I got a one.
A one. So, based on your knowledge of Arcanica and of this situation, there's obviously things that she has said that could be magically induced. Like they said it before, there is a way to, like, make things levitate, make people levitate, and stuff like that. But it's the no face...
That sticks out?
That sticks out. The fact that it's a human-looking thing. Humans cannot do magic.
Yeah.
And it's the bioluminescence of it, the phosphorescence of it. There are spells to do that, but... The what she's describing the whole room began to float, that takes a lot of magic. And so it would either have to be an incredibly powerful magical force or ghosts.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do an investigation of the room without any gadgetry.
Okay.
I would just like to walk around, investigate the room, and whatever else happens during that time. This will just be just my chance to look around. And I got a... I'm going to use one of these to add two,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, one, two, so four.
Four. All right. So you go and investigate the room. I assume, Damry, you are still speaking to...
To Mary.
To Mary. Mary has begun to, like, describe, she's just telling you ghost stories of the area, about, like, different ghost stories. She's telling you a story about how ghosts have kind of always been a part of the folklore of this area. People have always said they see ghosts. There's always seen stuff out of the corner of their eyes.
I'm actually gonna, before I go investigating, you guys are with us, right?
No.
They're still up at the house. They
still up at the house.
Okay, great, then never mind.
Cool. So you go and you investigate around, and again, like I said, nothing has been moved, nothing has been touched. But you do see a lot of, like, impact where obviously something was lifted and then dropped. You're going around and investigating. The barn is pretty normal for a barn. The major things you find are a lot of human things, a lot of, like, there's... obviously, the animals have been let out of here. And, I mean, the major thing you are finding is you find that this place has a cellar. That is the one thing that you really notice out of everything that you go around looking for. Everything else seems pretty normal.
The cellar is an entrance, like how
it's like a, like as you go
hatch?
Through, yeah, you like hatch that leads down into something beneath you.
Okay, then I'm gonna open it right up and I'm gonna go, Demery, there's a cellar, and then just walk into the cellar.
Sweet. So you just head straight down. I imagine you like light a small fire spell to like make sure you can see as you head down there. Do you have a notice?
I do, yeah.
Roll me a notice.
I got a three.
As you head down into the cellar, you see that there is a lot of crates down here, a lot of like farming implements. This is obviously a storage place. But as you go around, you begin to find that there seems to have been activity down here. Obviously something has moved through here in the last day or so.
Right. Okay, cool.
Damry, what are you doing? Anything?
She's taking notes on everything that Mary is telling her, and then when Jasper says there's a cellar and disappears, she puts her little notebook away in a pocket into her skirt and says, "Would you excuse me for just a moment?" And then she goes to the wagon and she pulls out the diagnostic haunt monitor.
Damry, that's probably useful.
And she climbs into it like it's like football pads. And then she like cranks the little thing up over her eyes. And
Mary's giving you a weird, strange look.
She like adjusts a bunch of the little knobs and settings and then like settles into it. And then she like walks out into the barn, into the center, and, like, uses it to, like, look all around the room, then heads toward the cellar to sort of follow the trail of where Jasper is going.
Cool.
So I guess another roll
me.
As well.
Do you have a Mechanica?
I do.
Roll me a Mechanica to use the equipment.
The diagnostic haunt monitor?
Yes, the diagnostic haunt monitor.
Now available.
Hell
on
yes.
The WARDA website.
Yeah. that's going to be a 4.
A 4. Excellent. tell me what you see when you turn on this thing.
So we often find that the diagnostic haunt monitor shows us vapor trails, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Of where spooks and such have been. But sometimes it doesn't work. In this case, I'm seeing, like, sort of the impressions of where things were raised and fallen like you did, but it's highlighted in, like neon green through the lenses.
And I also mentioned there's spinny bits, too.
There's spinny bits,
yeah, for sure.
This thing is a... Yeah.
Basically, it's trying to nail down where, not magic, but, like...
Ectoplasm energy
has taken place because they're pretty sure that it's not magic. If we were pretty sure it was magic, we'd be using a different device.
Right, but Jasper's idea is that, and here he goes again.
Yes,
but is that that magic is this could be a new type of magic?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like ghosts.
Yes.
Probably are magic in origin. It's just not a magic acknowledged by
that
us
we don't know about. Yeah. Right. So what we have is our devices that allow us to push the boundaries of what regular science would acknowledge as magic.
Fake science? No, it's still real science. But.
Great, great. So you're looking around, you're looking for particular things in general. You do find there is one patch by the front door that is highlighted 3 times over. And as you raise the goggles to like look at it, you see that there is a slight oily sheen.
Jasper, you're still in the
I'm thing. In the cellar. Yeah.
She like stabs the cellar door with her cane and whacks it a couple of times. Jasper!
What do you want, ghost?
Jasper, what do you see down there? Anything?
Well, it's not... There have been people down here. Something... Uh-huh. Something.
Is... She's still like flipping the lens. She's like at the front door. Did from you where she's standing.
Did you get the haunt and the...
Yes, I have the diagnostic haunt monitor on.
Excellent. I'll be right up.
Yes, please come up.
Mary is
you
fascinated
see.
By what's going on. Mary is completely like...
And Demery goes back over to the front door, and she's standing over the patch on the ground.
Great. And we're going to jump to these guys. So you guys are sitting out.
Yep. So first order of business for me is I want to look over... all of Appleton's shipping logs.
Cool.
Basically to see who is responsible for packing, shipping, transport, the whole shebang. Names to look into.
Excellent, excellent. So you are able to acquiesce all the records.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an investigate?
I do have an investigate.
Roll me an investigate.
That would be a 2.
A 2. With a 2, you're able to go through most of the shipping records. And the shipping records are pretty standard. There's a lot, particularly right now, there's a lot of apples.
Mm-hmm.
There is one anomalous kind of send out
mm-hmm.
where in a season where there were no apples, there was a large apple shipment.
Hmm.
Or when it should be low volume, there was a big one.
Are there any names attached to that shipment?
Appleton's name is on all of them.
Appleton himself?
Yep. Obviously, he like looked through it. Mm-hmm. There's signatures from what's his face from the foreman from Mary,
mm-hmm.
and there's signatures from Appleton, and there's signatures from Goldenrod as well. But the God, big one, amazing. Goldenrod is not on that one.
Gotcha.
I'm going to say that happened second summer. Happened in second summer is when this happened.
Okay.
Which was like, goodness, like 12 spans ago. What are you doing, Alva?
Alva is going downstairs and she'd like to pinpoint the person in the hustle and bustle of the downstairs staff of this house who looks or rather sounds like they're the most loud-mouthed and gossipy.
Cool. Roll me.
Good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Roll me a notice. Do you have a notice?
Yeah, I have notice. Okay, that's a 2, and I'd like to add another 2 to it. Fairy Hatmaker with an eye for understanding.
Very nice. So it's a 4, you
said? Yes.
So it's a 4. With that 4, you're able to find their... the kitchen staff is mostly human. It is run by a fairy by the name of Vera.
Vera.
Her name is Vera Giblin. And Vera is the head cook and head of staff. Mm-hmm. But she's not the most she's very stern. But there is like a group of 4 human men. They're like the main huntsman and these like 3 older human gentlemen that are pure gossips. That's all they do is they gossip. Okay,
I do very politely introduce myself to Vera because this is her territory. Mm-hmm. I explain that I'm the maid for the ghost hunters that have been hired to investigate the property. And I say that with like a tone of skepticism. And I just ask her, I'm parched. Could I trouble you for a cup of tea?
Of course.
Thank you so much.
And she's like, tea! And somebody like, there's a human who runs, yes, ma'am. Go get her tea.
Thank you so much. I take the cup of tea. I go over the gossips, reach into my pocket. This isn't quite food, but I basically take out an airplane-sized vial of vodka.
Very nice.
Crack it open with my teeth, pour a little in, and say, gentlemen?
So you head outside, and there's these 3 old gentlemen, like, sitting around, like, a small brazier fire. and it's because it's cold out, and there's like, a couple of young men out, like, chopping wood and doing stuff. And they're basically just smoking pipes and shooting the shit. And they're very much like, and that's when I told him not to come back anymore because John Corrington doesn't take any of that smish from anyone.
Like, and I'm sure he never returned.
And they like look at you and they're like, oh, madam, yes, yeah, of course.
No, please don't mind me. Just wanted to sit down outside.
Are you sure, madam? You can head inside with your tea.
I was already inside with the tea, but I'd like to, you know, enjoy myself like
give you,
where
they give you a seat and
where the good Mistress Giblin can't see me. Pop the vodka.
And they like look at it, and they look at you, and they all look at each other, and they go, "I've never drank with a fae before, but
I only carry small size, but you know, little pinch will do you."
And they like he takes a sip, and he's like, "It's very good," and they like pass it around.
I want to talk to these gentlemen about 3 subjects. 1, I want to get the full story of the ghost sighting.
Mm-hmm.
2, I want to find out the politics of the 2 Silvani who run this place.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, I want to find out, like, using the vodka as sort of an in, I want to find out, like, is there anything interesting that passes through here? Like, I imagine you get you have a lot of hard cider here. Maybe a little less vodka, not so many potatoes. What does pass through here that wouldn't normally be through here?
Cool. I want you to roll 3 separate rolls. And they're all going to be based in some sort of persuasion, some sort of talk.
I'd like to roll insight if I can.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have you do that. So this is for the first one.
Nice.
Which question is this?
I'm gonna do them in reverse. Okay. This is for... like, basically asking, like, what kind of smuggling smish is going on here.
cool.
Like, what can you get going through here that's a little bit shady? Like,
what is the number?
Like, Shawshank Redemption, it's 5.
5, okay.
Oh, no, wait, it's 6. 6, because, okay. Yeah, that was
so
a
3.
That's
6 for smuggle.
Nice.
What's the next one? This is for politics? Or do you want to be it for the first one?
I'd like to put this for the ghost one, in which case it's a 1.
Okay. I mean, they tell you a great story about the ghosts. It's embellished. It's completely embellished. And then he flew around the room and took his head off. And then once he took his head off, he took his arm off as well. And then beat Michael to death with it.
And then Michael's over there.
Michael's like, that didn't happen. Oh, it happened, Michael. You totally know what happened.
Okay. And then it's a 4 for politics. The politics of this place.
Okay. So they tell you the ghost thing. The politics, you get, this is the basic politics of it. Appleton has owned this place forever, and his family has owned it forever, and they will own it forever. Goldenrod was brought in about 2 years ago. He was brought in because the orchard was falling on harder times than usual. And he came in with a lot of extra money to put into the business. And that's why he became a partner. And so they were on the brink of bankruptcy. And he came in and basically saved the orchard, but left it in Appleton's name. And now Appleton feels beholden to him. They're not sure what his motives are. He seems like a nice guy. One of the guys, let's call him Sean. Sean is very much of the opinion that he's here to take over. But Michael and John are like, no. No, that's not what he's here about. He's here to help. And he's already helped. He keeps out of it as much as possible. He has his own side businesses. He does his own thing. He's just a backer here. When it comes to smuggling, none of them say anything to you, but they get very quiet about it. When they're like, what interesting things go through here other than apples? And they go like, apples, just apples. And they get very quiet, which is unusual for them.
What, I ask if they can elaborate on the businesses that Mr. Goldenrod is involved in.
They also get very quiet about that too. They're like, things in the town.
Things in the town. Well, I certainly hope they're not things that are going to make your livelihood suffer in any way.
No, you don't deserve that. No, no. And they're like, no. He's a fae. He could do whatever he wants. I'm sure that brothel is sanctioned in some way. And I'm sure it is. It has to be.
Oh, clearly. But, you know,
I mean, I'm sure that, like, I mean, he has his own train. And it's...
Oh, so it's his fault that I'm not going home early. Fine, this is a good place.
He's like, well, of course. I mean, he does his own shipments out of here on during the next 2 days.
Does he now?
Yes.
Fascinating. That is interesting. But yes, as I said, I certainly hope all is well for you and yours. You seem like honest, loquacious men. Thank you for the time and the company.
Of course. Is there anything else you want to do, Shauna, after looking through the ledgers?
Yeah, I would want to see if I could talk to Filigree Goldenrod.
Cool. So you go to Margible. It's a great name. I keep forgetting it, though.
Margible?
Margible. Yes. How can I help you?
Yeah, Margible. I was wondering if I could speak to Master Goldenrod. Is he home?
Master Goldenrod does not live in the house. He lives in town, but he should be here soon for a meeting with Master Kingswood.
I see. So he's not here every day?
No. He has his own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the apple orchard.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Of course. Whatever I can do to be of assistance.
Jump back to you guys. Have you come out of the cellar?
Yes. So I have emerged from the cellar.
So you emerge from the cellar and you see Damry looking very intently at the front part of the... And you see Mary over there is like, what do you see? What do you see?
Jasper?
Yes, Damry?
There's residue.
Residue.
They both get really big smiles on their faces.
I'm gonna produce from my coat here complete like chemist swatching.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes. Roll it out.
Yeah.
It's like one of those like it rolls out.
Just like and begin to like scraping things and investigating and doing all the various chemical an attempt to catalog and preserve samples of this for later investigation.
Excellent.
This case must be handled at home.
Would like to roll an Arcanica.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also going to.
Yeah. It's going to be an Arcanica thing as well.
Yeah.
So both cool of you roll an Arcanica. I'm going to say yours is a physical Arcanica. Yours is the, like, knowledge Arcanica.
Right. Plus three.
Plus three.
Mine's just a zero.
Do you want to roll? Do you want to do another roll, or do you want to just keep it at a zero?
Yeah, I'll give you one of these.
Okay.
Even worse. Oh, no, it's the same. It's a zero.
A zero, okay. Great. With that zero, you're able to... It's hard because you're trying to get the residue from it, but it's just a slight oily sheen to it.
Yeah.
You're basically getting a lot of material, and you're not sure if you can get all of... You're having a hard time isolating it.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting material with it on it, like gravel and little rocks and stuff with it on it. But you're not being able to isolate it completely. It's obviously, you have contaminated samples of it. But you have samples of it. It's the best you could do.
Better than usual.
Yes.
Much better than usual.
Damry, what are you looking at over this?
I'm looking at the actual residue. I don't think it's common for us to actually find residue of something.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen proof that, for example, the thing in so-and-so's attic was just a bunch of pixies who had created a nest up there. Or something in someone's basement was actually attached to, like, an underground goblin tunnel or something like that. Like, arbitrary reasons for them thinking there was a ghost or something in their house. But we haven't found residue like this. So I'm trying to see if I understand or know or recognize what this residue in particular is from my various studies. Magic.
With magic in general. Yeah, and you got a four?
A three.
Okay. Yeah. So during your studies in just magic in general, come across a very obscure type of magic. It's very rare to even find hints of it, but it is raw magic. So in this world, what happens is magic is the lifeblood of the world, basically. And it's very raw. It's untamed. And what the city does is there's actual filtration systems that bring in raw magic, filter it into tame magic, and that's what everybody uses. This is raw magic. This is magic that has been unfiltered. Mm. Nobody really comes across this. This is usually like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And there's very little written about it. So who knows what gives it off? But obviously something has given off a raw magic residue.
And would I know that it's not safe to, like, touch or
take? You know that it's unsafe to, like, to touch physically with.
Okay,
like,
so I let Jasper know, you know, this is toxic stuff. We shouldn't touch it. We shouldn't inhale it.
And you look over and he's got, like, gloves and goggles on and he's, like, working on things.
I mean, collect all the samples you want, Jasper, but don't taste it, okay? Don't do what you did last time.
We're all going to die.
Don't do this.
No, we are all going to die.
I think we should take the samples back anyway. We will. Don't go crazy.
I'm not going to eat it.
Don't.
I'm not going to eat it.
Don't inhale it. Don't rub it into your skin.
He leans forward a little bit and just gets
it
closer.
Stop.
Sorry. Damry, this job was much more peaceful before you came along.
What are you talking about?
And yet, it does seem that I spent a lot more time sick.
It's
back to the scraping.
A miracle that you survived to be 450 years old and some days, because you are several days older than the last time you lectured me about this.
Yes.
Anyway, it's very rare, and she kind of gives Jasper the lowdown on what she knows about raw magic. Mm. So this is. I mean, I would assume that outside of the center of the city, it might be more common, but it certainly can't be that common if it's highly toxic.
Great. As you're talking, as soon as there's like a moment where you seem to have made your point,
yes,
he's going to whirl on Mary and
and
still in like still in the science apparatus and say, "What do you use the basement for?"
I'm sorry?
What do you use the basement for?
The basement's mostly for, the basement is for storage.
Yeah, I'll inside it, too.
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh. She's lying.
You're like, she's all right. I'm like, no, she's not.
She's lying.
I got distracted by a bumblebee.
Yeah.
So I missed what she said completely.
It's very quick. She goes, it's storage. Mm-hmm.
Storage of what?
Apples.
In the basement?
Yes.
Where they could rot?
Of course. I mean, no.
Machinery, probably.
I am going to reach...
So that the machinery is safe.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to reach into the things and take out the I'm going to take out the Lombar hammer.
Okay.
Which is it's a cone you put on your hand.
Okay.
That has sort of a bunch of pneumatic parts and goes like this. We use it largely for It's harmless, completely harmless, yeah. but it airs the ground.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, I guess we'll be doing some investigating then.
Oh,
I'm
good golly. Roll, do you have, oh man, I'm not even sure if there is an intimidate.
I have performance.
Ooh, use
that's
it.
My special. My special skill is performance.
Please do.
And I got a 5.
Five. Wow. she immediately goes, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. You don't have to do that at all. I will show you the basement. I will show you the basement. I will show you what we use it for. Okay? 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 Please?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
And I like switch this and it sort of goes, but I keep it on.
Please. And she like takes you to the basement. And she takes you into the basement. And as you guys head down into the basement, it's cold and dark down here. And as you guys get down there, she's like, look, it's just over, she might not be able to. Okay, she's like, it's just over here. And she like shows you, she like heads down to a part of the basement and she moves a box out of the way and there is a tunnel. It's like Shawshank tunnel. Mm-hmm. Like but it's big enough that like things can go in and out of it. And she's like, there.
What do you see in the haunt monitor?
She goes,
did she see anything in the haunt monitor?
I don't know. Should I roll for that?
Roll for
yeah. I'm asking you. I'm asking you what you see in the haunt monitor.
It's a +3.
+3. With the haunt monitor, you saw there is some more residue.
Is it as much as at
no,
the front door?
No, 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 not as okay. much. But right. it
there
is.
There are traces of it down here. What is this for, Mary?
You turn. Mary is not there anymore. And there is a clink as she closes the door over you guys.
Jasper.
And there's a. As she locks it.
Meanwhile,
my tools.
As you go,
my
to,
tools.
As we go to you guys.
Meanwhile, so since Goldenrod isn't in town, I would want to talk to Mary next.
Okay. So you, I'm gonna say, is both of you heading out?
Yeah. Let's say we actually converge. Because if I couldn't find you in your original place, I was gonna go to the barn.
I mean, yeah, in going over stuff, you realize that Mary is the head foreman of all this. So you guys. You know that she was going to be down at the barn. Right. So you guys head down to the barn, and Mary is leaving the barn in a hurry. And she's basically...
Well, excuse me,
she's are, human, right?
Yeah, she's human. Yeah.
Excuse me, are you Mary? Do you know Mary? The
yes,
foreman
yes.
here?
Yes, I'm Mary.
Hi, my name is Derek. I was just going over some of your shipping records, and I had a question for you about one of the shipments that went through.
Please, yes, of course.
Okay, great. So in the second summer, it seemed like you guys had a pretty bad apple season. Is that right?
Well, I mean, it's not usually apple season then.
Well, then why did you send out such a large shipment of apples?
Oh, I mean, we marked them as apples, but it was the rotten apples from the season before.
I'll bet it was rotten apples.
Uh-huh. No, excuse me? No, madam.
Excuse me, and I put my hand on her sleeve mm-hmm. and like squeeze it, and then I look into the barn. Are the crazy Afridi in there?
Who?
Oh, that was the wrong thing to say.
What was?
Because see, I know that your boss sent you with them in here. I'll ask again. Where are the crazy Afridi?
I came here, ma'am. No one showed up. And you guys, and the camera pans over to all the stuff.
That's the wagon of stuff.
The wagon.
Yeah, that's true. Going,
ding,
I'm going to
roll. Ding, ding, ding.
I was like about to roll insight, and I'm like, yeah, I guess.
I place the beaver box gently beside me. Darn it.
Yay.
And
beaver
extract
box.
A hat pin.
Oh, no.
Beaver box.
So she extracts this hat pin, and it becomes a knife.
Oh, no.
And she goes...
I'm going to ask you a third time. Third time's the charm. Where's the crazy Afridi?
Oh, Alva.
We're going to jump to you guys real quick. You guys are down
Jasper,
in the basement.
She locked us in.
She didn't lock us in. She trapped us in.
Jasper, this is a remarkable milestone. This has never happened before.
It's a lousy trap that has a tunnel in it, though. I tell you what. This is not how I
she
would build
think
a
it
trap.
Through.
No.
She didn't think it through at
she
all.
She didn't think this
she
through.
She didn't think it through at all.
We will have a talking to with her after this to explain the logistics of trapping people down here.
We will have
also,
to teach
her better. Also, we're nigh on immortal.
Well, honestly, we could burn the barn down if we feel like it.
But we're not going to. No.
We're not going to.
I need to know how the wheels
this is the most beautiful
work.
Conversation I've ever listened to.
Can I please, Jasper, I would like you to inspect the... She's taking off the
Jasper
diagnostic haunt monitor. Please inspect.
You turn around and Jasper is...
I am marching down the tunnel.
Jasper, take this with you! Jasper! take the monitor with you, Jasper.
It's much more peaceful before you were here as well.
Yes, I'm sure it was. And she like fixes the little things.
Yeah.
Can I, what else is in the basement?
There are...
Like crates and stuff.
There's a lot of crates.
What else?
There are some farming tools, but again, this is mostly storage. It's just mostly crates.
Yeah, but there's like objects. There's like pieces of equipment and stuff.
Yes.
Great. I need to roll a craft to construct an instrument.
What are you creating?
Another instrument.
Another theremin.
I need it to be
like a musical instrument.
Like I can't describe the instrument to you because I don't know what it's going to look like until I've built
it. Okay, roll it then. instrument as in a musical instrument.
Yes, something that I can make noise. It's a plus five.
Oh, goodness. You make a guitar out of a shovel and some
strings. Yes, I do. Some metal twine and a shovel and like a little like bucket that like amplifies the sound, and she's tuning it.
This is like Stomp from the 1990s.
Yeah. And she climbs on top of one of the crates. Jasper, are you all right?
I'm down the tunnel.
Yeah.
Echoes a little bit. Anyway.
You hear the shuffling of
I'm going to try something. Okay. And then she begins to play this new instrument that she's created. And it's loud. It's pretty loud. And she plays this eerie, mournful kind of a melody. Like, it sounds like it should be backing something else that probably only she can hear. It kind of rattles the hay through the slats of the barn floor. She's just making a lot of noise to get attention.
I assume you're playing like a song, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you finish, Jasper's come back down the hallway.
Yes.
And he is standing there and affecting a look you rarely see, in that it is probably not haunted, but very like curious and inquisitive, but also like sad for some reason. And
he's got the little thing.
He's just and you don't know how long he's been listening. And he says, that's good.
That was all right?
Bridge was...
weak.
Weak. The rest was very good. Back down the tunnel.
End of episode. The players, Alexis Cohen-Penna as Alva Goldfinch, Shanna Brown as Derek Surrendikar, Arnie Parrott as Jasper Teficent Scorsch, and Allie Grauer as Damery Cole. Warda was created by Allie Grauer and Drew Merzieski. You can follow Warda on Facebook, on Twitter, and you can learn more about the world and our process at welcometowarda.com. And if you feel so inclined, you can support us at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The music for Warda was written by Arnie Parrott. He can be found at atptunes.com. Additional music for this episode of Warda was provided by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.